Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I want to say thank you to the listeners. Thank you to everyone who supports the platform. Tonight's subject is 5 relationship goals that has nothing to do with sex. So please sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. Question for tonight is how to protect your relationship from social media. I ask this question because in this day and time, there are a lot of people who has welcomed lots and lots of people into their relationship. And what I mean by that is, when you connect, or when you post, or when you broadcast what's going on in your life, every day of your life, you start to generate new social media friends. And some of the friends may not do you any good. Meaning that, I'm not saying that they may have, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not saying that they have like they purposely, I can't really say that, because some people do shit on purpose. But for the sake of this conversation, I don't think there's a lot of people that will purposely be ugly or drag your name through the mud. Or just be downright nasty or fucked up when it comes to social media friendships or inviting everybody into your relationship. But like I said a few minutes ago, we live in a different time now, you know. And I'm not going to go on my regular rant about how I used to be back in the day. Every era has this moment, because I can remember my mother or my, you know, older family members who would tell me Eric B and Rakim was didn't sound good or wasn't good music. So I can imagine what my mother and my father and my uncles and aunt went through when they were in their prime. So as I become a man of a certain age, being an elder man, the stuff that's on the radio or that's on that people listen to, no, I'm not gonna listen to it. I can't relate. But I understand. Everybody got their moan. So when it comes to social media and people dragging people into their relationships or letting people have a say and what they do or who they should be dealing with, that's a conversation to talk about. I think while social media may have helped us stay connected, it helps us stay connected with our families and friends, it also has the potential to put any relationship through the wringer. You know, I think deep connections that's formed through social media are sacred. If you're dealing with someone who's sincere, being someone that you know or someone that you just met, and they support whatever it is that you're doing as far as your relationship, your business, or whatever, then you have to cherish that, you know? But there are haters out there. There are people who will, like I said, drag your name through the mud. I know there's plenty of women who have felt scorn because a guy that they've dated has found someone else who may look pretty. prettier, who may cook more meals, who may take care of the house, whatever it is that person wasn't doing, or he didn't find with that person in his past, and you found with someone new, they tend to shit on it. I know there's been women who has reached out to other women and lied and said that their man was over there fucking them. And he was with us shooting pool or playing basketball. I mean, I've seen text messages and I'm like, well, you was in the gym with us banging down low playing basketball, so how could you have been at the house, you know, with old girl? So I've seen the ugly that comes with the social media, I call it whirlwind, you know, because once it starts, it's hard for it to stop. I mean, there's so much chaos, there's so much negativity, you know, and sometimes that negativity does outweigh the positives, you know. And sometimes it's harmless. Sometimes you have genuine people who really support your relationship, who think that, you know, who believes that you deserve to be happy, you know. But I think also when you're a couple, you can prevent a lot of that. You can slow that down to a halt by having some type of agreement amongst yourselves, stating how long you're going to be on social media, or let's not bring the phones to the bedroom, you know. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you have to, your phone is like an extension of your hand, you know, especially if you're a content creator, or if you're writing a book, or if you do music. Nobody wants to break out the big ass laptop or desktop, sit there for hours when they can lay in their bed and do it the lazy way, you know. And sometimes the phone overrides that intimate moment, that time to get down and nasty, have sex, get butt naked, get wet. So you have to find a way to monitor or set some type of boundaries on how long you're going to be on your phone or your tablet or your laptop. One of the agreements that couples may have is no phones when we're having dinner. That's one of those situations that bothers me. Special kids. I was with somebody and we was having dinner, and two of her sons could not put their phone up. She was like, look, put those phones up. So what they did was they put them in their, well, I thought they would put them in their pocket, but they put it on the side of their, you know, thigh and looked at the phone while they was eating. And it was like, I wanted to say something, but those wasn't my kids. You know what I'm saying? So I had to bite my tongue, but it was like they disregarded, or they didn't care what she said. Because to me, your relationship is a safe haven. It's not a war zone, or it's not a call center. Disconnecting from your phone at dinner is one of those situations that will definitely make your relationship a whole lot happier, because you have that one-on-one time, or you have that family time, and the phone is not a part of that. And it's amazing how the evolution of smartphones has ruined many households. A lot of people won't admit to it, but it is a serious situation, you know. I think also the fact social media platforms plays a big part of the relationships too, because every time you look, you hear a tweet or you hear some type of indication that you got a message or someone like your post or someone like your picture. And can I say this? I think I've said it before. There's nothing cute about taking 100 selfies and sticking your lips out. Now, I understand to a degree when women do it. But when I see men do it, it's all kind of wrong, you know. But I'm not going to really go into that. I'm going to leave that alone, because if I dissect that, it's going to go down a path that I might not be ready to talk about, or I might not be ready to go down. So I'm just going to keep my opinions minimum to that. But it's just weird how important a picture is or a post is when you got someone who's beautiful or handsome sitting next to you. And a lot of times you may have one partner who let technology dominate their part of the relationship, and on the flip side you have someone who's more under control, who can withstand not pulling out their phone every 5 seconds and looking at the latest tweet. So one of my pet peeves, bringing a phone to bed and we about to have sex. No. That's a big no. So I don't need to go into that, because it's kind of self-explanatory. But I get it. Like I said a few minutes ago, because sometimes it's self-convenience. If you are like someone who works from home, and you may have an idea, or you may get a message to do something that's important, or you know, whatever, you need your phone. And you need it close by. Some people can't even turn their phones off. There's some people who have occupations where they're supposed to be on point at all times. Doctors, who are the doctors that deliver babies, nurses, some law enforcement, the president, you know. These people, all the president he got, probably got people who will, you know, let him know what's going on. But there's some occupations who just, their phone has to be their right hand or left hand, depending on which hand they are. Time alone. I think if you set time aside to be alone and disconnect from social media, that would definitely play in your favor as well. Most couples share everything they do on social media, and oversharing leaves no room for private hobbies or, you know, some type of interest you may have. Because you're so connected to social media, you're not connected to your partner. Make time alone. Take that time to do things you enjoy and just be in each other's lives when you're not working or studying for a test. You know, go to dinner, take a walk, but just be present and just disengage from social media. And to wrap this up, your phone and your tablets are two of the greatest inventions of our lifetime. But if you're using them for being on social media constantly, it can also be two of the biggest headaches in your relationship. So with that, we'll be right back with the topic of the night. Thank you. which is five relationship goals that has nothing to do with sex. But first, before I get into it, let me say I want to apologize for not providing a show on last Saturday. And I actually did. I recorded it, placed it on all the platforms, social media platforms. And what I think I didn't do was, I didn't send the right one. I think I accidentally deleted what I talked about, when I told a story, and published the previous story, or the previous podcast that I did. Because I looked for it, I went through my archives, went through my files, and I couldn't find it. And I think I recorded this one in the car. So I was doing something or going somewhere and probably accidentally pushed the wrong button and deleted it. So I think I may tell it again on Saturday. We'll see. And the reason I didn't tell it tonight, because I have a calendar. And it's best that I go by the calendar, because that way I can remember what I talked about. I can refer and make sure I don't keep talking about the same thing. Cause my mind is like, shit, I'm getting older, man, and half the stuff I have to write down or take a picture, you know. But yeah, I want to apologize for that, and for everybody that, you know, has listened and continue to listen, thank you. We'll go ahead and get into this topic. The five relationship goals that has nothing to do with sex. Some relationships, they have it all, and that's refreshing. They have balance, support, and love, and everything else that makes a relationship strong. Other relationships can barely find the balance. But you know what's good about that? I think it's okay, because if you have one person who's determined to make or to find a way to make that relationship balanced, then they can hold it down until the other person find their way. And that way, once you got two people working on the same thing or working towards the same goal to be happy, then you find the balance. You find a successful relationship. You find ideas and things to do without constantly banging each other out. Because all it takes is a little bit of common sense, creativity, and communication. Relationships often follow the same pattern as friendships do. It's all about whom you hang out with and spend time with and do things together with. But there's one major difference between dating someone and being friends, and that's sex. Sex is a huge deal, you know. I've said that constantly, time and time again. Intercourse, oral sex, anal sex, pity sex, breakup sex, any type of manual or physical sex is fucking awesome. But mental sex, emotional sex, non-orgasmic sex, that's hard to find, that's hard to build on, and that's hard to sustain. Cause mentally, everybody is so wound up about fucking or the physical, they refuse or they choose not to be creative. They choose not to think outside the box. So I'm gonna give you five items that you can use. And I personally chose these because I've used them and, you know, they have worked. I've talked to people and, you know, they say they've worked. So I wanted to share the ones that I know for sure would be good ideas moving forward. The first one is build connection and intimacy. Relationship goals are important because you should build a connection with your partner. Intimacy is a huge part of the connection. Intimacy connects you on all levels. You share things that you won't share with anyone else. Dreams, hopes and dreams, goals, ideas, fears. Intimacy also helps you feel like you can trust the person that you're with. And it gives you a sense of loyalty to your partner. And it most definitely will provide unconditional love. The next one is exploration and curiosity. In order for relationships to work, both parties need to feel a sense of discovery or curiosity about each other. Most people in relationships for security reasons, but when they experience the working of their partner's psychological and biological needs, they may find that they go beyond what they initially expected. Exploration and curiosity are two great attributes of a relationship. Because when you explore, you are trying something new and learning something. You're also exploring what someone else has to offer. Curiosity is something that is innate in human beings. It's what makes us wonder about things and topics and situations. When this trait combines with exploration, you will have one of the best relationships you ever had. Next one is physical and nonverbal communication. Just got through speaking on the physical. The physical is, it dominates. The physical is important. Physical beauty, touch, caressing, being next to each other, just holding hands, kissing. Physical and nonverbal communication is about more than just words. It may include body language and tone of voice. We use these forms of communication every day, so it's important to understand them. Physical and nonverbal communication refers to one's appearance, gestures, and posture. Body posture and gestures can convey one's passion. Body posture and gestures can also convey one's passion. Believe that. Stress relief is a goal that couples can have, but it depends on how each partner handles stress. For one person, stress is a bad feeling, while for the other, stress means excitement. And I don't understand that one, because every time I've stressed or seen someone stressed, I can't connect excitement with that. So, I really wish I could talk about that. I really wish I could talk about that, because I've never seen this. I can't really speak on that. But everybody have different, you know, triggers. Everybody have different stress triggers. The biggest one that can affect anyone is money. So if you ain't making no money, if you ain't got no money coming in, I don't want to have sex. fuck me in physical and nonverbal. I ain't got no money. And it affects people, and it will affect you. It's a significant fact that people in happy relationships live longer. And that's true for both men and women. Scientists have found that the connection between a strong marriage and a longer lifespan with married people report positive outcomes for their health, like lowering stress levels and better blood pressure. Non-orgasmic pleasure. The non-orgasmic pleasure is a sexual dysfunction, which prompts individuals to experience a negative sexual response. Something like not having an orgasm. This type of non-orgasm is often experienced by partners. However, the disorder is not exclusive to couples. Many individuals who have never experienced an orgasm report that they are disgusted with the mere thought of sex because the response does not feel satisfying. When a non-orgasmic, what is non-orgasmic pleasure? Simply put, pleasure is derived from non-sexual acts, such as cuddling, snuggling, fondling, just to name a few. So, to wrap this thing up, it's all about two people in love. These two people share each other's joys, sorrows, and sometimes their secrets. Communicating openly and honestly. They don't put each other down. They don't drag each other's name through the mud. They don't let other people come in and create chaos in their relationship or marriage. They respect each other, trust each other, share each other's dreams and ambitions. And they find a way to be there for each other through every fucking thing. And not just sex. So, with that, I'm going to end this podcast. Because, to me, that says it all. And I think that topic is important when you get older. You know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, 40s, you got that energy. You got that physical relationship. But as you transition, as you creep into the 50s, you might every once in a while pop off and, you know, find you someone who can, you know, put you to sleep. But you want more than that. You need more than that. And by having a relationship that's not built on physical sex is going to be a fucking lifesaver to me. This is my opinion. For people who are older, or people who may have reasons why they can't have physical sex no more, or they just lost their way and they need to find their way back to being physical. Whatever situation it is, relationship goals that has nothing to do with sex will definitely help you if you're going through that situation. It's just funny talking to certain people, certain guys who are around my age, in the 50 range. And, you know, they going through it. I know a lot of dudes that's just going through whatever compared to being stallions or being a man, you know? I know for me, it was an eye-opener, but I dealt with it. I deal with it daily. You know, there are times I sit and I think about my heyday, and you know, very interesting. You know what I'm saying? It's been very eventful, and I'm happy. I wouldn't change nothing. Everything I've done, I wouldn't change a thing. And that's across the board. You know, the experiences, the people I've met, you know, so. But yeah, when you're older and when you are in a more stable relationship and you understand that sex has its part, but there are more to a relationship than sex. There are more equally important things along with sex in a relationship, then you have to balance yourself. You have to find a balance. You have to live by a certain guide, certain rule and guide. You know, make time for yourself, make time for your partner, and make time together. I hope y'all enjoyed the podcast. It is short tonight. I think the fact that I go between short relationships. The fact that I'm going between long podcasts and short podcasts. I think I found my balance. You know what I'm saying? Because there are times I can talk. You know what I'm saying? There are times I just kind of like want to keep it brief and to the point, and you know, let you get back to what you were doing, and you know, let you know I appreciate the fact that you did give me some time. You know, give me the opportunity to talk about what it is that I talk about on this podcast. So I want to say thank you to everyone who listens, everyone who supports. Hope everybody have a good night. Take care of yourselves. And I will possibly be doing that story again on Saturday. Because before I go, there's certain times when something happened, and then sometimes I feel like maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe there was a reason why that didn't load or I didn't publish that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think it was like 20 minutes long. So I sat for 20 minutes, I talked about something that happened to me. And then not to be able to find it and publish it, maybe it wasn't meant for me to talk about. So we'll see. By the time Saturday get here, I'll see if I probably have my moment and more than likely overanalyze and see if I was supposed to talk about that or talk about something else. Once again, y'all have a good night. Y'all take care of yourselves. Keep supporting. Keep listening. You know, share it with your people. You know, I'm out there. Check out the book, Heart Seduction. Coming with the other book is coming. And I'll talk to y'all later.